podcast fame. With Doolin and Keith laying claim to the crown of pop culture and video games. The world has never been the same. Uncle Chuck and Comic Man popped in to lend a hand. We had some brews, news, and reviews. Zack Cinder's Rebel Moon was a snooze. Mysterious World had ghosts and UFOs. Oh yes, it's been a year of Zoomundo. It's all big. It's canonical. Our podcast show. AI Theater's charm paired with handmade Tito's. Some sage advice from Uncle Chuck saw us through. But what you said that though, Comic Man gave us comic lore insight. Bad impressions on scripted delights. Keith going too long on the Marvel's plight. Almost caused Doolin and Keith to fight. Live from MegaCon, it's Doolin and Keith. Conspiracy theories beyond belief. Uncle Chuck got arrested, a tale so wild. His antics always made us smile. Tell me, Brohan, what is best?
It's still going.
To hear the Zoomundo podcast, where stories flourish and friendships grow. Thank you for a year of Zoomundo. Yes, here's to another year of Zoomundo.
And welcome to Zoomundo Podcast, episode 51.
I thought it was 52. Okay.
That's 51.
All right.
I'm Doolin.
And I'm Keith.
And I'm Nino.
And we got Nito in here hanging out with us for the 1 year anniversary special, man. I didn't tell them that I was going to do that.
First of all, world, you are welcome for a year of Zoomundo. That was hilarious. That was also really long. Are we playing that for every section?
Oh, God, no. Yeah, okay. That was just a one-time thing, man.
It's one time, so you got to listen to this episode. Not that you can hear me right now, but you know what I mean.
But you said that, though.
Yeah. Dude, how's your week been?
It's been pretty pretty crazy busy, man. Just trying to get everything done, get prepped for this 1 year anniversary special. And we're here, man. We're here now. How was your week, sir?
I was going to let Nina talk about his week, actually. How was your week, bro?
My week was pretty good. It was mostly involved with your week, so. Mm-hmm.
And it was, man. We did some stuff. We tried some dieting so far this week.
Oh, you guys are doing the carnivore diet.
Carnivore diet, highly recommended by Joe Rogan. A fellow podcast.
Shout out to my friend Joe.
Yeah.
I just got off the phone with Brie Larson, by the way. She's going to be really upset about your whole Marvels thing.
But yeah, I'm sure.
I am down, I guess let's do the math, 8 pounds.
Hey, man. And how long?
Like a week.
4 days.
4 days.
Nice, dude.
That's crazy.
I dropped 10 in 4 days.
Crazy.
Yeah, Nino's better at this than me. He dropped 10 pounds already. And we basically haven't done anything special. We only did cardio once this week, did a beach walk, which gave me some definitely hardcore military flashbacks with the Blue Angels flying around.
Yeah. I mean, the Blue Angels are in town for those of us those of you who are in other parts of the world, you don't know.
And I will say, dude, walking on the beach, man, if you want to get strong, running on the beach or rucking on the beach, which is carrying a backpack, you know, weighted stuff. It is, it's good for the body and the soul. That's, it moves all those little hip flexors.
And the vitamin D.
And it's great for vitamin D. I have a painted on, tan right now of the red persuasion, and it's cool because like your abs don't tan, so it looks like I literally just painted myself red.
it does. We hit the pool a little bit earlier. I was like, you are red AF, man.
It that was nice. Yeah. Yeah.
But
I look like a freaking underwear model now, so it's worth it.
But hey, this is our 1 year anniversary special, dude. Like, so
happy anniversary,
dude. So we first sat down Star Wars Day, which is tomorrow. So we're about a day off. We got pretty close to the day though.
May the fourth be with you,
and also with you.
Revenge of the Fifth.
But yeah, man, this has been a long time coming, dude. And we're gonna do long form podcasting today, and we're gonna break it up into smaller episodes to make it a little bit more digestible.
That are actually canonical with each other.
That are canon. Drink. Everybody drink. I should have.
Are we doing a reread through of the?
I don't know. I don't have the drinking game. I don't have the list in front of me at the moment, man. I don't know exactly where it is.
Y'all heard the gist of it last week. Anytime anybody says something cool, you're going to drink. Yeah. Or something we say all the time.
If it's something we say all the time, yeah, then we'll say drink, and then, you know, everybody drinks. So if you are here with us for the 1 year anniversary special, please have a drink in hand. You know, unless you're driving, then don't have a drink in hand. Maybe it's a water. I don't know.
It's not the 70s anymore.
Yeah, it's not the 70s. You can't get away with that shit anymore. But yeah, we got some brews, news, and reviews for this episode. For our later episodes today, we've got Uncle Chuck, Comic Man. We got everybody. Also, we've got an open door kind of policy here, so anybody who's been on the show before, we told them, like, hey man, just we got the extra mic, just dip in at any point, and we'll call you in, and
a couple,
you
know, potential call-ins too.
Call-ins, we'll see. Like Amanda from the MegaCon episode might come in.
She said she would call in, yeah. And old Sean might call in, talk a little bit of Predator. He watched it with his boys finally, and he started texting me randomly about his awesome movie. And then we might get Mike. Might call in a little bit about some mysterious stuff later on. We'll see.
All right. That's all I like to hear. Well, anyways, so for our going into year two, man, let's do our first brews, news, and reviews of year two, shall we? Send it. Drink.
Okay.
And now, brews, news, and reviews.
We got some stuff to get into today, but before we do that, my boys, what are you guys sipping on over there?
You want to start?
I'm sipping on some Perrier Forever Lime.
Maison Perrier.
Slow down.
Well,
man.
The carnivore diet, it's not really
conducive.
No, you can't really
to the drinking.
You can't have any no alcohol. No,
keto is not carnivore. They are different. Although I'm breaking it right now with this drink.
Okay. Fair enough. You no alcohol on the carnivore diet?
Dude, I haven't drank since I called the show. That's not
what
true.
What about
I
the fermented blood of your enemies? Can you have
that's
that?
That's always on the menu because technically that's protein, right? I mean, there's blood and steak and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You can. All right, blood. So fermented blood, that's what
vampires,
you have to drink.
They're always on the carnivore diet.
It's like the kimchi of...
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's awesome.
So what do you got, Keith?
I am drinking that lime vodka, the Deep Eddie's lime with lime.
With extra lime.
Lime club soda or something like that that's sugar-free. Yeah. No carbs, no sugar. Well, I guess vodka's got a carb in it or two, probably. I think ethanol turns into...
And anyway. I've got Sunny D vodka seltzer.
I remember drinking that at I had that at the one Sunday at brunch, which makes me want to cry. It was an awesome day, and that blew my mind that even exists. Still, I'm still blown
well. This
away.
Is new. It's a new thing.
Yeah, it's pretty new.
Yeah,
yeah. That was my review.
It's one of my favorite drinks from my childhood. Meeting one of my favorite drinks from adulthood. Sunny D vodka seltzer. So I mean, you can't really go wrong with it, dude. It's actually, you know what the crazy thing is it really does taste like a Sunny D.
Does.
And plus you drink enough of them and you get happy.
Makes all your bad feelings feel like good feelings.
It's a nightmare, Dewey. You don't want none of this. Nope. You don't want none of this. So
I think I want some. And you didn't pay for drugs. Not once.
Hey, before we get into review, I want to apologize to Nino because I realized, like, after we did all that, and Nino's been on a fair number of episodes here. Not all the episodes, but he's been in a handful of episodes and stuff. I was like, actually,
quite a few.
Nino actually didn't get a shout out in the 1 year anniversary special song that I had AI compose for us. So this one, Nino, this one's for you, man.
Onward to a great test, no one will know. Tonight we dine in hell with the Nino Bro. Yo ho, yo ho, hey, hey, hey. We sing a song of greatness with the Nino Bro.
There you go. So you have a theme song now whenever you come on the show.
I need that as a ringtone.
I'll send it to you.
That's a good idea.
it just blows my mind that it's all created with AI.
You know what? Here, I'm gonna share this with you too. This is another one. So I was kind of messing around with this program that I used to create all this, and I was thinking like a fun, like, this is not gonna be like a new theme song or anything, but I thought this was kind of funny. Go ahead.
Yeah, mind you, there's several musicians in the room. And people we know, and there's absolutely no reason that we should have to do this. I believe AI is literally going to steal all our jobs as musicians.
Stick our jobs.
Yeah.
Well, and artists too. I mean, like, you can.
Yeah, exactly. Like all, and you know, like all the torment that artists go through mentally and stuff like that. Now it's just going to be a bunch of mental people walking around with no outlet. You know, it's going to be bad. Yeah.
So what if Zumundo was a children's television show?
It's got cuss words.
As performed by, like, you know, like, remember like the show Fred Penner's Place from Nickelodeon back in the day or
no,
whatever.
I do. Anyways, not.
So it's like just some hippie in the woods with like a guitar, like, hi kids, I'm Dylan and Keith, and this is Zumundo.
Okay.
So here we go. This is Zumundo as a children's show. You ready? Here it is.
Pop culture news and mysteries of the unexplained. John
Denver? It sounds like John Denver.
Comic books, reviews, and video games. It's a good old time with Doolin and Keith hanging with their bros.
Just nuts. That's nuts. Wild.
Turn the dial. It's time for Zumundo.
And the,
that's like, yeah,
the turnarounds are pretty good. Yeah.
That's, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. So I found this website. Actually, Uncle Chuck showed me this website the other day, and I was
the real Chuck.
What are you talking Uncle about? The Chuck. Real Chuck? He is Uncle Chuck.
He's broken character enough. They know he's a real person.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. But yes, Uncle Chuck.
Yeah, he showed me this, and then I was like, oh, I gotta play with this and everything, and just I dove into it for like the last couple of days, and I went down the rabbit hole and started doing a bunch of different stuff. So you can be assured there will be more like jingles and things that I will create for the podcast with this.
Zumundo the musical.
Well, the opening number was, I literally put in opening Broadway musical number for the prompts. So
interesting. Yeah. It kind of, yeah, it's got vibes.
But yeah, man, AI, it's crazy.
It's not going to, it is.
It's.
I mean, if it can do that, I mean, how long did it take to make that?
Which one? That
any
thing?
Of them. Any of them. Yeah. Any of them.
I mean, well, so you got to do it like verse by verse, whatever, but I think like the longest one took me like 2 hours to create.
That's nuts.
That's yeah, crazy.
What artist can compete with that? You know,
no,
what I mean?
Like, nobody can.
The commercial industry, the people that do like commercial jingles and shit, they must be out of their mind right now. Because
that's true. Any jingle writing is a huge.
Any company can just make a jingle in 2 hours and not have to pay anybody. You know what I mean?
Like, music soundtrack or movie soundtracks.
We got this free on whatever.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Oh, 2 hours. Let's just put in. Oh, I love Nike.
You know, and some people say that they're still making. You're creating the art because you're prompting.
Right.
I don't know where I stand on that actually because I really haven't given it too much thought and. Yeah, wow. I couldn't release a song like that and be like, yo, this is the new Sight Injection album and it's all AI stuff. Like, I didn't. I mean, maybe you could do some overdubs. Well, let's do
before we jump into Bruce News and Reviews, and I'll just let's do
because right,
I have the site up here.
Like freaking paratroopers.
Let's do a prompt. We'll do some Mad Libs. All right, so let's do a commercial for you guys tell me what the commercial is for.
Trojan condoms.
Boom. Oh, all right.
That escalated quickly.
All right. So well,
do you remember how much they cost back in the day?
It's been so long since I used
one. I don't know. I've never used one.
Hey, so I'll actually jump into some news while we're waiting for that to load. Here we go. So the Arkham video games, man. So it's been like 8 years since they did the last Batman Arkham game.
Okay.
I think. And I played all of them. I don't know if you guys have played them or not, but they're great games. I really enjoyed Asylum, City, Arkham Knight. Like, they're all fantastic.
They were big games for sure.
Yeah. We're getting another Arkham Batman release. This is going to be called Arkham Shadow. And it's actually going to be a VR game coming to MetaQuest late 2024. So no word who's going to be voicing Batman at this time, because it was famously Kevin Conroy for all those games. He's unfortunately since passed away. So we don't know if this is going to be like a new Batman or one that is still existing within the Arkham universe.
They're probably going to use Jensen Ackles.
Jensen Ackles. I thought he was the voice of Red Hood in like the animated movie.
But then he's been doing Batman.
Huh.
Voice actors, they do a lot of stuff. Yeah, some of them are very, very dynamic, so they can do several projects. You know?
All right, here we go. All right, trusted sheath commercial for Trojan condoms. Let's listen to it here first for the first time. Here it is on the Arkham video game. More will be released next month, but we can expect to see the MetaQuest Arkham game play as Batman in VR sometime at the end of 2024. Man, that's technology's wild, dude. I got some more video game news here. There's rumors circulating, and this is just rumors, that there's going to be a Game of Thrones MMORPG in development. This is, of course, just an internet rumor. My source for this is from comicbook.com, but the game will not be based on the Song of Ice and Fire books by George R. R. Martin, but instead will be set between seasons 4 and 5 of the show.
Oh,
so
interesting.
So it's like in between seasons.
Can you give us an episode name or anything for either seasons?
Off the top of my head, I can't, because I don't recall.
When was the Red Wedding?
The Red Wedding was like season two.
No, three?
No, two. That was the finale of season two.
The beginning of the war, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, or the end of it, depending on how you look at it, the Robb Stark.
The game's going to actually take place in the North. And while the other kingdoms haven't been ruled out, the player is going to create an original character. So you're not going to play as like Jon Snow or anything like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And they're unsure if it's going to use the actors' likenesses from the show or not. But yeah, man. So possibly
they could use AI for that, right?
They could use AI for that. That's a thing that they could do. Yeah. Like, I mean, they use AI for everything else. So.
When I was a kid, it'd be like, cheese.
Well, you remember like
Ritz crackers?
Do you remember scrounging for food when you were a kid, and that's how you ended up tasting like every spice and condiment? Is just you were hungry, so you like sprinkled some Lowry seasoning salt on your hand, just ate it. Like, yeah, we did some weird stuff back in the '80s. It's like you're hungry. It's like Tang witches on Married with Children. Yeah, that's hilarious, man. But, doing laughing.
It just blows my mind, man.
The level of,
I mean, what, like, so even if you're like a music artist, like,
right.
I could literally right now just sit at home and create a CD,
right,
like a track, and be like, this is my music.
Well, so like getting built, so we're setting the studio up. I'm shutting the studio down. I'm actually picking it back up. But like, think of like, if I'm like, I can't play every drum fill. I'm not the best drummer out there. Matter of fact, I'm probably one of the worst. But if I'm recording everything myself just because people aren't accessible or whatever, I can't fly everybody down to do that. It's like I could AI a blast beat that I can't physically keep up, you know, on a drum set. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that could just be crazy. And you could put that
single track in your song.
And people are like, man, this band is great. And be like, yeah, like, but two of the members are fake. Like, that'd be crazy.
They don't even exist.
Yeah. I mean, the Chronicles of Sight Injection. By the way, I think we are going to do another album.
Oh, yeah. Is Sight Injection getting back together?
Sight Injection never broke up. We're just on hiatus, like, you know, like famous bands do from time to time.
Of course. Of course.
It's a shout out to Robb. Sight Injection!
Like, all right, so
I used to scream that all the time.
Just a little bit of entertainment news here for you. Remember watching Saturday Night Live a couple of weeks ago, and we had Ryan Gosling.
Yes,
Beavis and Butthead.
That was good, man.
Yeah, I mean it was one of the funniest sketches I've seen. Yeah. Well, and I don't even know it was so much a prank. It's just like they just weren't expecting it, and they were caught off guard.
The makeup artists, I said this on the show before, they won the day on that one because they got her good. That was hilarious. So much that she had to come out and comment about it, which was really funny. Because like, and we talked about this. So was it like Jimmy Fallon maybe, or or one of those guys used to break in everything. Like he'd laugh at stuff Jimmy Fallon wasn't funny, and it would take away from the scene, and actually become annoying. I'm not saying you're a bad person or anything, but it was like, come on, man, like you're supposed to be professionals here. You know, mm-hmm. people weren't cracking on Whose Line It Is Anyway, you know, like mm-hmm. to that level. But, and that stuff was pretty good. But yeah, I think it was heartfelt's not the thing. It was just really, it was so real, like in the moment. And
right.
Just like, no, oh, they're not going to be able to keep it together.
Like that.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, anyways, in that note, so the new, the premiere of the new film, The Fall Guy, just happened, like the red carpet and everything. And I haven't seen it or really know much about it, but Ryan Gosling
the Fall Guy show,
and Mikey Day, who were Beavis and Butthead in that sketch, appeared. They came to the red carpet as Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, man, it's just kind of a good nod to that Saturday Night Live reference, man. And it caught a lot of attention.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, for sure. A little bit of video game television news for you. Fallout, massively popular, dude.
Did you finish it?
I'm only five episodes. I've been so busy this week. I haven't had any time for television.
Will you get upset,
man,
if we talk about that during reviews?
No. We can talk about it during reviews. So if you spoil it for me, like, I've had enough time. It's fine. Like, I don't mind it being, it's not going
to
take anything away from me.
This is the week to talk about it. I mean,
I'll talk about like what I know. You know, but it, you know, you can spoil it for me. It's fine. I don't care. Yeah, but and it's only been out a couple of weeks, and it hit 65 million in streaming.
Like that's like years in dinosaur years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wild.
But yeah, man. Yeah, Fallout, huge popularity. Can't say anything bad about it so far. Five episodes in. Love it so far.
Right.
And then finally, what I have for Bruise News and Reviews today, the director, Barry Jenkins, who I don't know if you saw this or not, but the trailer for the live-action Lion King prequel just dropped. So they're doing...
Oh, yeah. This was controversial for some reason.
Yeah, well, because people are just kind of tired of the shit.
Like, the live-action animal movies?
Yeah. Well, it's a live-action prequel to a live action remake of a Disney movie, and everyone's just like, no, man, enough of this shit. Anyways, so Barry Jenkins, who was the director, caught a lot of heat on this for, you know, doing another soulless Disney remake and stuff. And, you know, my thoughts on that are kind of mixed, because on the one hand, it's like, well, look, man, yeah, I don't think they should be making like these movies or anything. But also on the other hand, listen, if this dude didn't do it, somebody else would. Like, and he's just going to go, he's going to get his paycheck and, you know, take that money and go make like something else that he wants to make. So, you know, good for him. But, you know, at the same time, you know, if he didn't do it, somebody else would, like I said.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. But, I don't know. That's what I got for news today, man. You got anything?
So, I got a few things actually. One is a little conceptual, but, I just heard, Hugh Jackman and Jodie Comer are going to star in a dark retelling of Robin Hood.
Oh, sorry about that.
What are you doing?
Sorry, go ahead.
So, yeah.
Sorry, a dark retelling of what?
Robin Hood.
Another one?
Yeah, I mean, well, Robin Hood's a timeless tale. They're going to keep redoing that till the end of time. Stop. Come on, man. Oh, gosh. You're going
to... I'm gonna shout at the clouds, man.
It's going to go off. Sorry. In advance. No, that's... I mean, it's a thing, right? It's a thing.
Okay. All right. So we've like, so it's, like Hugh, it's Hugh Jackman and who?
Oh man, I just have it's.
His so name I think is, we just had the one with Russell Crowe not too long ago. Like, yeah, maybe like 10 years ago.
The actual picture on this article from Screen Rant is that Russell Crowe's in the picture. It's Jodie Comer, Comer.
Okay.
Comer. I don't know how to say that right. Sorry, everybody.
It's all right. It's all good. I don't know who Jodie Comer is. I'm gonna look it up.
Real quick. Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Wait, what movie was Russell Crowe?
He was in a Robin Hood.
They did a Robin Hood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I don't think I saw that one.
She's cute. I just looked her up. She's cute.
The best Robin Hood series, we can talk about this for a minute because we watched some of it together, actually, I think is the Robin of Loxley thing. What was that called? The song was like Robin the Hooded Man. It was a British show. It was expensive to make, and it's got the best setting for Robin ever. And it's got a lot of that mystical, magical stuff. That's something both of you guys mentioned. It was, I can get back to that, but I think if anybody is into the Robin Hood, story, it is the best version of it that exists. Sorry, I'm talking all slow.
I'm kind of torn on that because there's been a lot of great versions of Robin Hood over the years.
Well, check this out. It's so much Robin of Sherwood, sorry, is the name of the show. So it's so influential that the reason Morgan Freeman was even in the Robin Hood with Kevin Costner was because of the show, because they had that they actually created that character for the show. That they had a dude from the Middle East, and you know, he was part of their merry band, as it were.
Right.
He was also a great actor. The actor that played Robin Hood, both actors that played Robin Hood were mm-hmm. amazing. One of them actually being Sean Connery's son.
Really?
Yes.
He was the second
Robin Hood. And this kind of gets into the James Bond theory, right? Like that,
oh no, you're not going to connect Robin Hood and James Bond.
Yeah, I am here because okay. Robin, one of them died, right? Or whatever. And then
Sean Connery is very dead. Yes.
Not Sean Connery.
Okay.
Sean Connery's son.
He died too?
No. Oh. The first Robin Hood in the first season or first two seasons or whatever passed away. Not for real, like in the show. Oh. And then the new Robin, like the whole thing, Robin of Loxley is like an identity.
Oh, it's like Captain America.
Yeah. Like several people could be the same character, right? And then the same Marion, who's a wonderful actress. I can't recall her name. She fell in love with both of them, which, I mean, that's just kind of just how chicks roll from my understanding of them. But,
do you want to talk about something, Keith?
No, we're good.
Sure?
So that was a good show. And, I suggest everybody go watch it. It was high budget. It was actually too high budget to continue. That's one of the reasons it was canceled.
Okay.
But if you look at the scenes, they're super, super immersive. Everything was filmed on location in some woods in England and stuff. And it's just awesome. And it really takes you into the whole, setting, you know, really well, which once again, no shout out to AI here. Like do practical effects, please just mm-hmm. continue that. And, you know, I think movie making is still going to be an art even with that because people want real things.
Yeah.
And that's,
hey, I got to stop you real quick.
Yeah.
Because, Uncle Chuck is calling in now, like super early, I guess.
Awesome.
My phone's ringing, so I guess I should probably get it. Even though we're in Bruise News, but like I said, you know, today's just kind of like, you know, it's an open mic. It's the 1 year anniversary special. So we're going out of sequence today. So
haphazard.
All right. So I guess we'll let Uncle Chuck in. Give me a second and we'll bring in Uncle Chuck during Bruise News interviews. Here it is.
Now retired down in Florida is where he lives. He's a dear old man with some advice to give. If you don't like it, I guess you're out of luck. It's time for advice from your dear old Uncle Chuck.
Uncle Chuck, you're early today, man.
Yeah, I just got back from court, so I decided I'd give you guys a call.
All right, well, appreciate you calling in, Uncle Chuck. How you doing? How are things over there on your end, buddy?
Well, I got a gripe with the legal system. The judge did not appreciate my plea of innocence, and I am now on house arrest for the next 9 months. He said that I was not fit for public consumption, which I think was a bit harsh. I wasn't aware that they would say such things. But so, yes, I guess I get to sit around and play video games and scratch my ass all day like you.
Oh, hey. Oh,
brutal. Actually, Uncle Chuck, I was going to talk about a little bit of video games.
Yeah, we're actually in the middle of Bruise News and Reviews right now. We're talking about video games. You want to join in the conversation with us?
Well, yes. How fortuitous.
All right.
Awesome.
All right, so we're on with Uncle Chuck now, and Keith's got he's got some retro video game news he wants to share with us.
So I was back up in Virginia recently, and I was, my band account is signed in on my YouTube up there on the TV, and mm-hmm. I was watching it, which now is all Minecraft videos and Taylor Swift songs because of my daughter. But I saw a podcast that I haven't seen in a while.
It's okay to admit you like Taylor Swift.
Hey, we're all Swifties at heart, right? So I have a funny story about that, but so that's not the point. So I saw, you remember Pat the NES Punk back in the day on YouTube?
Yeah, they had
the CU podcast or whatever. Yeah, good stuff. Him and Ian was his co-host, I believe. I don't remember, but he reminds me of our buddy Sean from high school, which is kind of fun.
Okay.
And but anyway, they were talking about a couple things in the retro gaming market that have been happening. Mm-hmm. I did go to the video game store while I was up there. That's where I picked up our N64 stuff, like I was talking about on the show. There's a huge crash right now in the video game market.
Really?
In the collecting market. Right. So collecting, if we want to walk this back a little bit, really blew up in like 2010. For like Nintendo specifically. And one of the reasons they speculated was that a lot of young people got a bunch of money, you know, with internet businesses and all these things. And they're like, cool, I'll just buy the entire Nintendo collection, like online or whatever. So
It
drove prices through the market. And this
is all, that's crazy. So you buy like a copy of Super Mario Brothers 3 for like $199 or something kind of thing.
Yeah, they'll pay whatever because they just don't have to look for it. They don't care. With that, it drove a lot of prices up. So watching the market now, you don't go to like a swap meet if you're like a Nintendo collector, NES collector specifically, and find like a great deal. Sports games are still relatively cheap, you know, that kind of thing. Super common games and that they made a billion of. Everybody kind of knows, and they said this too. Shout out to them. That's a cool show if you're into anything like that. They're also from New Jersey, I believe, and they got a bunch of skits and stuff like that on his channel. It's interesting stuff. And he's written several books, and I'll just take a second to talk about that. He's written a complete guide to the NES and a complete guide to the SNES. And now, after 3 years of work, they're releasing the complete guide to the N64 system, which means every single game was played, rated, and reviewed. Some, you know, are like a paragraph, some are full page spreads, you know, big games and stuff like that. Very interesting stuff. I'm sorry if I'm boring you there, Uncle Chuck. Nintendo, when we used to play as little kids, you probably remember that.
So somebody actually paid these people to write this book.
It's actually these games. I actually have the hardcover of, I don't know if I have both the NES and the SNES. I definitely have the NES one, which is really cool. And so they said this new crash is that people buy sealed games. And a sealed game isn't just picking up the cartridge at the thing and throwing it on your shelf. A sealed game would be if you found an original copy of a game still in the box, never been opened, right? So this is more of a rare occurrence, right? Mm-hmm. You might be able to get a game with the manual in the box. That's how most of the apps that track your collections go, and then they price things based off that. But like I'm saying, earlier, you couldn't find deals anymore because now everybody has access to these apps. You can watch eBay and stuff too and just price your stuff accordingly, right? So if somebody's asking $15,000 for Stadium Events, which I don't even know what that is now, that's kind of a household name of like the most rare and expensive video game because they only made so many before it was like just track and field or whatever that everybody has. They know the market shifted today.
I am a bit of a trivia buff. And I do know what Stadium Events is. I learned about it at Bar Trivia one time. Yes, it was a special world championship cartridge. They only made like 12 of them. And they were at the Nintendo World Championships.
How the hell do you know that, Uncle Chuck?
So
Bar Trivia.
You're mostly correct on that. So the actual Nintendo Championship cartridges are different than the game Stadium Events. Those are super rare and collectible. And I think there's even a gold version of one from one of the world champions. And if anybody like thinks video game world champions were a thing, if you remember the movie Wizard? The Wizard, with Fred Savage. And the little kid that wants to go to California, three kids running away and going to California nowadays, this movie would never work. But they went, and I think Kevin Bacon in it?
The 80s, when you could just leave your house and run away.
And your parents just came and found you.
Uncle Chuck was probably doing blow in the 80s.
There was a lot of yayo. Bolivian marching powder was the order of the day. Bolivian. Got a lot of work done, though.
White girl interrupted.
Do you want to build a snowman?
You want to go skiing? Do I? That's funny. I saw a meme the other day. Every time I see one of my friends sad about a girl, I ask them, do you want some cocaine?
It's so weird having Uncle Chuck on for Brews, News, and Reviews, about man. It's like a clashing of worlds right now. I don't know. It's kind of strange.
I love Uncle Chuck. With that, your Zelda, if today it's worth $125, that's what you're paying, right? You're not paying $100.
You're paying for the nostalgia.
You're not paying for $5 for it. You don't go to the swap meet or the garage sale and find a box of Nintendo games so often. And you're like, oh, there's some cool rare games in here.
Yeah.
And that's just the thing. Well, the sealed video game collectors, some of these things went for so much freaking money at some of these conventions and stuff. Well, now people are dumping collections at a massive loss. Not sure the exact crux of why that's happening, but it is happening. And well, because I think the prices dropped because they're overinflated. They're kind of fake. Like, right. There's like a Mario thing. They're like, oh, there's only like 50 of these sealed cartridges. You got to get them. They're like $50,000 a piece.
I can tell you exactly why the price dropped. It's because everybody that were during COVID, when nobody could go out or do anything, they were saving them. They had their money to spend.
Right.
You had a bunch of 35 to 45 year old men feeling nostalgic, sitting in their rooms
with nothing to do.
I'm going to start buying all this.
And some of these were bought by multiple people together. Like
that's what drove all the prices up. And now that everybody's, the economy isn't doing so great.
What? Everybody's dumping stuff.
What's that, Uncle Chuck?
So what you're admitting to is it actually is all the millennials' fault.
It is. It's always the millennials' fault.
He loves that.
Those and those goddamn Gen Zers.
There's what are we? I don't
with
know.
With their tic-tac-toe and whatnot. Zoomers.
Their goddamn tic-tac-toe.
That's it. So I think it's an interesting thing that's happening. It's not going to mean, hey, don't go rush out and pay because you're still overpaying for a lot of this stuff. It's very expensive investment. And if you have a complete Nintendo collection, shout out to you. There's not a whole lot of people who have them. It's very hard to get. There's a cool movie on it, which I think we've mentioned in the past called,
how many girls are in that movie?
None girls. The guy's mom, I believe, is in the movie.
Color me shocked.
What was Nintendo Quest was one of them, right? Where the guy goes and they try to buy all of the games. And this is when it was blowing up. So they knew to make the documentary at a good time when things were already skyrocketing. So that just shows how long ago this goes. Nostalgia sells a lot of stuff for sure, especially nowadays. Like 80s retro colors are coming back in. I just saw they're re-releasing those. Is it Body Glove? The t-shirts that you put
the
heat t-shirts
those are so
washer and dryer would ruin after a while, and they wouldn't work according to my friend Nino.
This is true.
How many do you have?
I don't have any.
What about Zubaz?
What is it, Uncle Chuck?
We need to bring Zubaz pants.
Zubaz? I don't know about you. Know what Zubaz are?
You guys don't remember what Zubaz pants are?
Not tracking.
Google it.
I'm Googling it as we speak.
A fashion revelation.
Oh my God. They look like hammer pants.
Oh yeah. Parachute pants. Yeah. I remember those. Yeah. That was a thing.
They're like just like elastic pants. Like they're lounge pants. Like pants you lounge around in, basically.
Okay.
Workout pants. Gym rats used to wear them when
their legs were too big.
At Venice Beach and shit.
In 1988, Bob Truax and Dan Stock began brainstorming a new type of shorts for the heavy lifting man. The pair developed a comfortable baggy pair of shorts with an elastic waistband. Zubaz was registered as a trademark.
Interesting.
I don't have any recollection of that. I was around Uncle Chuck, but I was really, really young, so
I wasn't hardcore into the bodybuilding scene in the 1980s. Although I watched a lot of movies with bodybuilders in them in the 1980s because that's what was on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch some of those 80s action movies and count the Zubaz. They were all over the place.
We went back and watched the Barbarian movies, the Barbarians movie with the twin bodybuilders from New
Fire
York
and
or, whatever.
Ice or whatever.
No. Like it's a movie with these two twins. They filmed it in Italy. They said they had a blast. They got to learn to ride horses and they're pretty funny. Guys are like half of the worst actors ever, right? Like,
One of them's dead.
One of them did pass away. Yeah, absolutely. And but they were like super jacked. They could lift some pretty crazy amounts of weight. Not that anybody cares about this, but they were kind of like the next, you know, little Arnolds or whatever that were coming up. And they only did a few B movies in their time. That was probably the big one, but it was just so cheesy. The script is bad and all that stuff. And they had a super pretty sidekick and, you know, all that kind of thing. Yeah. But if you want to go back and watch it, it doesn't hold up. And if you're a kid, you know, back then, and if you have fond memories of it and you go back and watch it, it's a one-time rewatch. You're not going to do it again.
So, Uncle Chuck, we had talked a while ago and you said that Helena got you some video games. And since we're on the topic of video games, what are you playing right now?
I have gotten absolutely hooked on Diablo 4.
Oh, Diablo, you know, that's, you know, remember like you used to come over and, you know, back when I was a teenager and I would be playing video games and you would make fun of me for playing the video games and stuff. But I was actually on the original Diablo with Keith here via dial up internet back in the day. That was like the first
game.
Yeah. The first Diablo, but you're playing, I just want to point out, Uncle Chuck, you were making fun of me for playing Diablo and you are now playing Diablo 4.
It's different.
No.
primarily because when I play Diablo, I'm not screaming at someone, don't pick up the phone. I'm on the internet. I'm online, mom.
Gosh, that was a thing. It would just start screaming at you.
So what are you playing in Diablo 4 right now?
I am a level 70 barbarian. I've already beaten the story mode, so I'm just doing their like
okay.
after the game kill shit stuff. I'll admit it's a bit of a girl game.
Really, Diablo is?
It's yeah. the pacing. Well, I mean,
what's
weird
the main point
it,
at the end? You get back clothes. That's the whole point. Coordinate your outfit.
Oh yeah, okay, I see what he's saying. So in anybody's not familiar, you get sets of armor and stuff in Diablo, and you build your character and their skill set based around these sets of clothes, mm-hmm. which you really can't get till the end game in a lot of cases, you know. And then you pick a character you like and you go. Reason
they give you a new they give you a new special outfit that you can only get during that season. It's like fall fashion week all over again.
The Tal Rotha or whatever. Yeah, I played Diablo 3 pretty hard, and I actually built a guy. I got the right set of armor. Mm-hmm. And even though the armor didn't level up, it's like you got pretty OP. This one, though, has a level cap, I believe, at 100. So Uncle Chuck's going to get stuck at some point.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, people complain about the end game content on that one quite a bit because of that. Yeah.
Apparently they are redoing the whole thing, and at the start of next season, so in like 2 weeks, they're going to have a whole different way how loot's calculated and how you get your pretty clothes.
And that new season's only going to cost $125.
Oh, gosh. You got to pay for the seasons?
Yeah.
No.
Ooh. Well, the next one.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm very sure. The seasons are free. You're probably thinking... Helen was talking about asking me if I wanted her to buy me the expansion that's coming out in fall.
Oh,
you might be thinking of that.
Hmm. Expansions
are cool. She had to buy a new TV because, well, I play Diablo a lot now.
Second TV. That's awesome. Well, yeah, it's an interesting game. I played through part of the story myself. I say part of the story because I got to a point where eventually I got stuck, and no matter what I did, I could not beat that boss, so I quit.
Oh, right. My.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was playing a wizard, or I think.
Sport, I just want to say I'm a better gamer than your friend.
that's probably a fact.
Well, yep, you're retired. You got a lot of time for that. So, hey, Uncle Chuck, I think we're gonna close out this episode with reviews, and we're just gonna talk about the Fallout TV series a little bit. If you wanna hang out with us and close out this episode with us, that'd be great.
Sure, I played a little bit of the Fallout game,
mm-hmm.
one of the Fallout games, Game Pass thingy.
Right.
I didn't know they had a TV show about it.
They do on Netflix?
Prime.
Prime, sorry, Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
I think Helen's got a subscription to that.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. It just hit Netflix. 65 million streams, so it's pretty popular right now.
One of the two.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, yeah. So for reviews, we're gonna dive into... the Fallout series, which I gotta be honest, it's gonna be spoiled for me because I haven't finished the series yet. But Keith and Nino here have watched it, and so takeaways on Fallout, guys. What do you think?
The show?
Yeah,
yeah. So review wise, let's get into this.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And I liked it for a lot of reasons. You know, we talked already. We've spoken a little bit about it, but the setting is freaking wild, right? Because it's not our universe.
You know, go ahead.
Per se, but
it seems like, and we talked about this last week a little bit on the show. It seems almost like the apocalypse kind of happened at some point in the 1950s.
No, that's just the way those people in that vault exist.
This was before the vault, though.
That whole universe is different than ours.
Okay.
So it looks like the 1950s, but they had some tech that was different.
Like, yeah, but like, everything was like very 1950s feel, like the kids with the cowboy hats watching Howdy Doody and stuff, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I read something online when I was trying to figure out how to play the Fallout game.
Yeah.
And, apparently where the timelines diverge is that the transistor was never invented in the Fallout universe.
Interesting.
And that was a branching point to the timeline.
It's all steam.
And amusingly enough, the nuclear bombs fell before the Boston Red Sox could win a World Series, so those fuckers are still cursed.
Hey, Uncle Chuck, how do you feel about steampunk?
Oh, fuck you. God damn it.
Steampunk, is that the goofy shit with the top hats, with the gears?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Uncle Chuck.
With the brass gears and some the goggles.
A lot of monocles and goggles. I feel like we're getting how Doolin feels about steampunk.
You know what? Here's the thing.
Uncle Chuck's
I don't know. You know what? Are you going to put me and Uncle Chuck on the same team for this shit? Because
said what he thinks about steampunk.
All right, fine. Let Uncle Chuck give his thoughts on steampunk. And as we are veering off course from the Fallout review, but by all means, let's talk about this new, entirely different, stupid fucking topic. Well,
there's a lot of steampunk involved in Fallout.
No, yeah. There isn't.
Yeah. Yes, there is. Dude, the power armor alone is totally steampunk.
It's totally steampunk.
It's nuclear steampunk.
It's nuclear steampunk. But it's
that's not steampunk, then. It's nuclear power. Thank you, Uncle Chuck.
It's steampunk-ish.
Okay.
Adjacent.
This just in, most nuclear power actually powers a turbine that creates steam turns the turbine and creating the power.
That's a fair point, but in rebuttal, go fuck yourself. How about that?
Well, you know, I mean,
Doolin, how do you feel about steampunk themed superheroes?
They can lick my sweaty nutsack. That's how I feel about
steampunk
it.
Superman.
You know what? And this, going on this shit, and I realize I'm probably more closely related to Uncle Chuck than I think. All right,
you guys are family.
It's not funny, Uncle Chuck.
He's laughing. I'm laughing. This is pretty. The reactions that you have. This is why we have to start.
All right, here's my thing.
This.
All right, so this is a bit of fucking lazy. Here's the thing. And for those of you guys listening, and you like this isn't something that you would know having listened to Zumundo, but this is kind of goes way back among this circle of friends.
What exactly do you have against gears and brass?
I'm getting into it, man. So here's my thing. Like
Jay Leno has a steam-powered
thing.
Car.
So back in like 2011, 2012, when steampunk was kind of like at the height of its popularity, I just got really sick and tired of it seeing it applied to anything and everything that wasn't steampunk. So we went to like Dragon Con that year and we saw like the steampunk X-Men and steampunk Doctor Who and steampunk Scooby-Doo.
Whatever.
Yeah. And then we went to go see a steampunk band and the sound that they emitted sounded like the gnashing of teeth and the screaming of unbaptized babies in purgatory. Do you understand me? It was fucking terrible.
Steam pipes maybe? Is that what
it was? It was like electric synthesized violins and shit. It was fucking terrible.
It sounds a lot like dubstep. Steampunk dubstep.
Well, at least I'm not alone on hating dubstep.
I didn't say I hate it. It sounds like robots.
Can
like
we go back?
Having a good time.
Can we go back to the Fallout review now?
The ultimate steampunk universe. Okay, so.
But since I was asked, I would just like to say steampunk is fucking lazy.
Thank you, Uncle Chuck.
It just is. It doesn't make sense. I have cats. Should I make a steampunk cat? No, that would be retarded.
It might run faster, you know, with the steam.
Did I ever tell you that story about how when I was running D&D, the characters all went to a steampunk universe?
No, I've never heard this.
Doolin was there.
So, oh my gosh, I can't even find... the main character, this is another connection we're going to make, not to steampunk, but to our universe,
right?
Is that Lucy McLean is like the main protagonist. Well, one of three main protagonists in the Fallout show. And Lucy McLean is actually the name of John McLean from Die Hard's daughter when they go to the house and interview her.
And just as a side note, Ella Purnell, easy on the eyes. She's easy on the eyes. Pretty. She's nice to look at. Her eyes are like abnormally large, but
she's got anime eyes.
She does. She has anime eyes.
What's that mean? They're all big.
They're all big. It's right. Canonical. Drink.
Like that onion with the big eyes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm.
All right, so at some point, the world ends, and now we're like 219 years in the future.
Exactly, and there's a giant nuclear civilization ends. A nuclear war because of the term fallout, right? But you know, prior to the war, they had the crazy tech with the power armor and stuff. The very kind of 40K looking Space Marine dudes that are running around. They call them knights now.
In that universe, they use that armor to fight other. other factions of the United States. So, because the United States wasn't the United States, there was the United Republic of California.
Yeah, yeah. Things got weird after the bombs went off.
Well, no, that was even I think
before. There was a big war. There was a war before all that stuff happened.
Because the power armor was made before the bombs dropped.
Yeah, that tech was already out there. It's actually old technology now, and you know that you wake up and you see this girl's kind of lifestyle in the 1950s, which. Isn't the 1950s. That's just the way it kind of feels. And then through a series of events, she has to, you know, venture out of a vault, which a vault is just like it sounds. It's a big underground dwelling facility for a bunch of people who are now known as vault dwellers. She's from
There are several vaults.
She's from vault 33, I believe, right?
There's
a bunch of them, but then three of them existing.
I'm talking about hers. Yeah, 31, 32, and 33 exist in the same.
There's over 200 vaults.
Yeah, same situation. And you know, she's going out basically. Her dad gets taken by some
bandits that break into one of the vaults.
Surface dwellers that break in, yeah. And she goes on an adventure to find him. And through that adventure, a bunch of crazy stuff unfolds. You realize Earth is a little different with the giant monsters. Cockroaches are, how big are they? Like,
they're raccoon size, basically.
They're big and scary and they hunt packs. And yeah, you don't want to get
Also
by an
appearance by Ben Linus from Lost appearing on the show, which was kind of nice.
For an episode and a half.
I think. Yeah, until, you know, spoilers till he gets his head chopped off.
And the other character, Maximus, another of the big three, I'm going to call him.
Yeah. The main three
Lucy's
characters.
Lucy's dad's
a
character and the lady runs the,
well, you have three main characters.
The faction
show.
Of up there. She's important too. But so, Maximus is a guy who works for the Brotherhood and he's in there as like a, I don't know, basically like think military private and like the worst, you know, living conditions ever. Cause they're just out in the desert and it sucks. He's burning poop and just trying to earn his keep. And he was saved by one of those knights when he was a kid, and that's how he entered the Brotherhood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so in Lucy's world, the bombs dropped 210 years ago. And Maximus even tells her, he goes, the bombs dropped when I was a kid, right? So I was like, ooh, man, there's like a time situation here that maybe they're telling them they dropped there. Huh. So the stuff stops, doesn't add up right. It's very good. It's good. There's a mystery that gets unfolded in this whole story.
Okay.
But we later learned that was a purpose explosion where they destroyed where he lived, right? And his family and everything. So he was an orphan that came with the Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. The Brotherhood's got those big knights' armors. They got some flying capabilities, some crazy helicopter things, and a like an airship, like a blimp, like a very steampunk looking blimp.
Fuck you.
I mean, hot air. It's kind of like, it's probably some steam in there.
Yeah. I'm
sure. Just saying. That's how that works, right?
Probably had some gears.
Yeah. Maybe some hydraulics too. I don't know. Yeah, it could get weird. So he goes out on an adventure because he actually ends up being deemed as a squire for a knight, and a knight are one of those guys in the big power armor thing. And Lucy, through a series of events, again, like I'm not giving the whole show away, they meet each other. And then we have the other character from Justified, as everybody wants to point out. What's that actor?
Walton Goggins. As the ghoul. And he's pretty amazing. Well, I'm at the point right now in the show where it's like the show starts with a flashback of him as the world ends, pretty much. But then like you're given like little glimpses of who he was before he became the ghoul.
He was a big Hollywood actor.
Yeah,
he was. Like kind of like John Wayne-ish, you know, type thing. Maybe a little bit more.
And then he was also person for the vaults.
Yeah, like hence the old 50s vibes with those spaghetti western type things. He was kind of one of those dudes.
You know, I would just like to say one thing, if I might. You know, when I was playing Gotham, I noticed everybody, all the villains had goofy real person names. Walton Goggins sounds like he ought a Batman villain.
Walton Goggins?
One goofy ass name.
Does sound kind of like a Batman villain.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get Lucy McClane.
It's just an unfortunate combination of words.
Indeed. Not everybody gets the coolest name.
With
get good names.
With the massive success of the Fallout series, I think it's, I mean, and we've talked about this before, like the age of the superhero movie is kind of coming to an end, I think. And we've said this several times and you're rolling your eyes at me and that's fine.
I'm rolling my eyes.
But like, but I really feel like this, the video game movie series, it's like the next thing. And this is kind of solidifying it. Like Super Mario Brothers last year and Fallout this year. It's like, we're really kind of coming into the age of the video games.
And a lot of people are pushing for that. There's a newer Mortal Kombat that I actually watched this week as well with the video game movies, which was pretty entertaining.
I can't wait for 20 years from now to be for the Fortnite movie to come out. That's just
my gosh.
I'm flossing right now. Yeah. Well,
the Fortnite movie would be interesting because it literally has everything in it.
It won't be interesting.
Well, no, I'm just saying like it's all canonical. Like there's wrestlers in it and all kinds of silly stuff, right? Yeah, I'm saying canonical on purpose here. Mm. Yeah, so the story gets crazy. There's some monsters and I want to say the actor that played Vinny Cacciatore in Blue Mountain State is one of the other squires in the movie. His voice is identical to that guy, if nothing else. It probably is that guy, which is pretty cool. And so you people becoming ghouls, you see all the, like, ghouls are kind of, I don't know how to explain that, like zombies, but they're sentient.
It's kind of, yeah, kind of, they're kind of
some
sentient.
Go feral and become like a traditional zombie.
Yeah, exactly.
Some stay and actually have part of society. There's a whole entire, not a vault, but there's like definitely like a whole place where they all live because they live for hundreds of years potentially. And then they can, you know, they've got all their life experience to share with each other and stuff like that. Kind of weird. But he plays like kind of a bounty hunter dude, Walter. And it's a pretty cool thing. And they're, you know, everybody, I like the way the story's written because it's like, hey, I'm fighting you in this episode, and then I got to team up with you in that episode, and now we're all kind of on the same quest for the same plot point, which is pretty cool, and everybody's sort of on this adventure together but separately. I like the way that was done, and I'm not getting it. I get it. Like a lot of people, like have said before, are like, oh, it's not exactly in the realm of the video games, but yeah, it's going to be different. It's adapted for television, you know, so. That's a thing.
It's a television commercial.
But it's great. It ends really well. I guess I'm just kind of skipping the end of this. I give it a thumbs up for sure for something to watch. It's racy. It's not for kids. It's not for kids. It's action-packed. It's got some intrigue and mystery in there.
Full frontal?
No, not that I've seen so far.
There's definitely some full rear.
Is it man ass?
There's that too. There's a lot of, there's nudity in it. I don't remember if there's full frontal. You might see a hang dang or something, you know.
Women deserve to have things to enjoy as well. Indeed, visually. Indeed. Equality is important.
Indeed.
Man or bear.
But yeah, it's a cool show, man. I recommend everybody gets out there and takes a look at it. I hope Doolin finishes it.
I'm gonna finish it.
Yeah.
So
there's a little bit about Fallout, I guess.
Yeah. So we're coming up on an hour for the first part of our 1 year anniversary episode. So I think we can go ahead and kind of bring episode one of our anniversary special to a close here, man. If you guys are good for that, we're gonna come back here and we're gonna take a little break and come back and do our Comic Man episode here in just a few minutes. And Uncle Chuck, man, it was really nice to have you over here for Brews, News, and Reviews. And sometimes it's kind of nice to know that there's somebody out there that is just a as big of a cynical asshole as I am. So, like, you know what? We are not so different, you and I, Uncle Chuck.
No, we are not, sport. We are not. And this was a truly lovely, lovely time, spending more time with you on the show in your little adventure.
Well, thanks, Uncle Chuck.
Hopefully one day your friends will listen to it and they'll tell you how proud they are too.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only people who listen to it.
So for the end of Zumundo anniversary special part one, I'm Doolin.
And I'm Keith.
And
Nino's in the bathroom.
And Nino's in the bathroom. But we also have...
And I'm Uncle Chuck.
There we go.
Awesome.
And have a Zumundus time, everybody. We'll see you back here in just a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question, man.
Send it.
Was there any full frontal ghoul nudity in this.
Not that, like, I'm aware of, but they're like zombies, so they're always kind of half naked.
That's fair.
Most zombie movies have some sort of anatomy in them.
I mean, yeah, but it's, you gotta think, like, does he still have his functioning bits down there? Do you think,
possibly,
after like a couple hundred years of like rot and stuff? Well, Uncle Chuck might want to weigh in.